Praise God. Do you believe that? Yes. Thank you, Lord. You know, this is what it's all about. We are just walking through here on this in this earth. We're here, but this is not our home. We're going through to heaven. So why do we gather together? So we can get encouraged, so we can put our eyes on the things of God, so we can put our eyes on the Word and remind ourselves, because this world has a tendency to contaminate. You see so much junk in the world, and it can make you just, you get focused on that. You're not focused on the Lord and what we're really doing here. The only reason we're here is because other people have not come into the family. If they had all, if the gospel had been preached everywhere and everybody that was going to believe on Jesus had already believed, we'd be out of here. The Bible says the gospel will be preached in all the nations, and then the end will come. When that happens and everybody has the opportunity that is going to believe, has believed, we're gone. But it hasn't happened yet. So we're not going to leave part of God's family here because they're important to Him. If it were up to me, I'd want to be up there right now. How about you? Be out of here. But it's not up to me, and it's not all about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. Amen? So we are going to do, as we continue on, we keep our eyes on Him, get encouraged through Him, through His Word. He put gifts in the body of Christ, and we draw on that right now. You don't look to a man, you look to Him. So let's look at your sheet. To start off with just some review quick, we've been talking about a series we've called Think on These Things. And if you haven't heard them, I encourage you, go back and listen to them. They're all on the website. And we've been focusing on something different every week as the Holy Spirit leads. And this thing has grown. You know, I start off and I think, well, this may take one service or two services and just led by Him, but things grow. And I think we need to cover some things, so we keep going on with Him. He is good. But Philippians 4:8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Notice that those filter we talked about, that's a filter on what you should think on and what you should allow your mind to think on, what you should allow in. In another translation, New Living Translation, it says, "Fix your thoughts on these things." He said, goes forth to mention them, what is true and honorable, so on and so forth. Think about these things. Think about things that meet this criteria. And we've talked about different facets of that. Last week, we got into Ephesians 4:17. This passage that you have on your sheet, I think we should go ahead and turn over there. Let's turn over there in the Word. Ephesians 4:17. Thank the Lord. Ephesians 4:17. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." And we left off here last week going into how the Gentiles, how that means people without God, they walk in the futility of their mind, verse 17 says. the futility of their mind. Having their understanding darkened. Their understanding darkened. That means they don't see clearly. That means things aren't right. Things aren't the way they ought to be. You ever tried to find something in a dark room? You don't find things as quickly as if it were light. You know? Have you ever been looking for something, even if it's, you know, it's not completely pitch dark, but there's a shadow, and you're trying to see around this thing to get something, but you can't see it because you don't have any light, and you're like, and you try to get down, but you just can't see it because it's too dark there. You know what I'm talking about? And it's like, it's just not enough light. It doesn't matter that I'm sitting there. I can't see enough that even if I'm right in front of it, I can't see there, so I can't find it. And then I'll get my phone or whatever and shine it there, and all of a sudden, okay, there I can see. All I needed is a little light. I mean, even if I turned the overhead light on, the shadows were hitting such that I couldn't see there, so I needed the light to shine in that corner. And then I could see. This is what's happening with people's minds and their hearts. They're darkened. Have you ever wondered why we've all seen somebody, either a loved one or somebody you knew in a congregation where you knew they needed a certain truth, but they couldn't see it. And you could sit right next to them in service. Now don't get too strong on somebody else because we could be that person in different areas, right? But you know somebody needs it. And you could tell them point blank. Such and such and such, and they just look at you and you know, there's no understanding, none. They don't see it. That's why you got to be careful about trying to teach people and get what you think they need. Sometimes, and all of us are like this, you need to hear something over and over before it burrows through the darkness that you've somehow been clouded with somewhere in your life. And then the light of God's word shines through and clears that out. But it didn't just happen once. I'm not saying everything's like that. I'm saying there are some things like that. So sometimes in our flesh, we come through and we say, I know what this person needs. And so I'm going to go tell them. And they'll receive it. Not necessarily. It does not, let me put it to you this way. It doesn't matter what you know. It doesn't matter what somebody needs. It matters only what they will receive. In other words, you could know exactly what somebody needs or what you think. You know. And they could need that exact thing. But you could talk all day and you know they need it, but if they won't receive it, you're wasting your time. That's why it is so important to be led by the Holy Spirit. Let Him, you can't change people anyway. You can't change people. You can't change your spouse. You can't change anyone else. You can present things to them, but they're the ones that are going to decide. You could put them in jail. And people aren't going to change unless they want to change. They can be forced to be their behavior, but how many people, they get back out and they do the same thing. It's an external thing, but you can't make a person's will change. Jesus, God Almighty Himself, can't do that. Why doesn't He just save everybody? Because He's bound Himself with His word that He's given men a free will. And if He can't do it, you think we can? Sometimes we try to play Holy Spirit. It doesn't work out very well. This is how relationships are destroyed. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman, and He knows what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. And He knows exactly what somebody needs. And He will, if they give an opportunity, get through to them. But we're not the Holy Spirit. We can be led by the Holy Spirit, but you got to make sure it's the Holy Spirit and not your flesh. It's easy to get, you know, you want something to happen, you see what somebody else needs, and, oh, you just, yeah, just give them a hint. Ever had a hint blow up in your face? Yeah. Glory to God. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Do you notice this? Darkness, blindness, ignorance. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man. Do you know if you've been born again, you had an old man? Now you have a new man. You've been born again in your heart, your spirit, the real you. But like we said, your mind was not born again. When you got born again, it's not your mind that changed. It's not your body that changed. It's your heart that changed. And so we need to do something with our minds. We make our bodies submit. We need to present our minds, present our bodies, and we renew our minds to the Word of God. If we renew our minds to the Word of God, we start reprogramming it so that it starts thinking the way it ought to think in line with the Word of God. We get the old out, the junk out, start getting the new in. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. He said, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I think, let's go back while we're here. Notice that before we go, though. Verse 24, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. You're putting off the old, putting on the new. The new man is the part of you, your spirit man, that's been created in true righteousness and holiness. That's the part of you that's changed. That's why sometimes you think, why do I still have those thoughts if I've been born again? Because your mind needs to be renewed. And some people think because they had a thought that they sinned. And then the enemy will come right in there and condemn you if you let him because you had a thought. See, why did that thought come if you've been born again? There's a difference between having a thought and entertaining a thought. There's a difference between somebody knocking on your door. So have you ever had somebody, door-to-door salesman, knock on your door? Not knocking, door-to-door salesman, if you're doing that, I'm saying, but you had somebody that you did not know knock on your door. Has anybody ever had that happen to you? Or anybody that you did not know knock on your door? Okay, did you let every one of them into your house? But they knocked on your door, but you didn't necessarily let them in. Okay, this is the same thing with your mind and your thoughts. You cannot stop thoughts from coming because the enemy's going to try to put thoughts in your mind, but what do you do with them? If you say, hey, come on in, let me get you some coffee. You want cream, sugar? What do you want? Sit for a little while, and you start letting those thoughts go around and around in your head. That's entertaining them. Now you can get to where you're sinning. You're thinking about it. You're thinking about how good that would be, or if you did this. That's how Satan creates strongholds in your mind to where then down the road you act on something that you've been meditating on for years, and it looks like it came out of the blue, but it didn't come out of the blue. Something knocked on your door one day, and you let it in. You didn't shut it out. And little by little, you liked the idea. Or somebody got mad at you and you thought of what you could do to them. And you thought of what you could do to them. And you thought what you could do to them over years. But if when something comes by and we say, no, That's not me. No, I'm not doing that because I know what the Word of God says. We shut it down. And that's what we need to do. Shut it down. I didn't say it was easy, and if it's something that you've let in your mind over and over, it's been programmed there for years and years, and this is the way you thought, you're going to have to be very diligent about shutting those things out. You might have to do it literally 100 times. More than that in a day. And you think it can try to wear you down. It's like a machine gun. Boom, you knock one down, there's another one there. You knock it down, there's another one there. That's normal. Did you hear me? That does not mean there's something wrong with you. It means the enemy is trying to get you to break in that area. You've had those thoughts go through your head over and over. You just haven't been knocking them down. So now you're taking something. Your body, your mind says, this is not how we've acted before. I don't want to do that. And it takes, you have to push through it, and the Spirit of God will help you to knock those down. But just because you had a thought doesn't mean that you've sinned. No. See, the enemy's subtle. He'll say, what are you thinking about that? You know, you have a thought pop in, you're walking through, and you know, you have this thought pop into your head, and you're like, where did that come from? Oh man, what? I thought I was past that. What is that thought? That doesn't mean anything. What'd you do with it? If you said no, well, there you go. You didn't do anything wrong. You just shut it out. And that's what you have to do every time, is shut it out. Boom, boom, boom. No, no, not, no. And I'm going to think on God. No, God, that might have been what I used to do, but I am focused on Him. Amen? Amen. So that's what he's saying. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Notice that? That you put on the new man. You're saying, that's how I used to be, but this is how I am now. How do you know how you are now? Because you get the Word of God. You hear the Word of God and you get that into your life. That's how you know. Now turn over to Ephesians 1 before we go on here. Ephesians 1. Glory to God. God's helping us. Verse 15, chapter 1, Ephesians 1, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Notice this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You see that? That's the opposite of what we read with the Gentiles, where their hearts were darkened, where their understanding was darkened. What's going on here? That the eyes of your understanding are lightened, enlightened. What is that? Stuff is changing. Stuff is becoming clear. Now notice what he says. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Does this sound like putting on the new man that was created in righteousness and holiness? This is, he's saying, that you would see, that you would be enlightened in what you are. This is a process. This is what's happening. This is what's happening right now. The light of God's Word showing forth, and your spirit is catching on to stuff, and in your mind is being changed and reprogrammed if you'll let it. Right now, we're seeing, oh, this is what's happening. This is what the Word of God says. He said, according to the working of his mighty power, that you'd see this, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He's painting a picture that you'd get a picture of what Jesus is and the power that resides in us, the power that is the kingdom, the power in that name. And as we do that, we start to act differently. We start to behave differently. Things that we used to do fall off because we're not that person anymore. We've been enlightened in the sense of God's word. And this is really where I want to focus this morning. God's word is the vehicle by which that happens, the lightning, enlightening. Let's go back to Luke. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's do it this way, though. Let's see. Praise God. Yeah, let's go over to Psalm. Hold your finger in Luke. Luke 11. Why don't you find Luke 11? And then go right on back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, if you go through it, it's talking constantly about the word, the word, the word. Over and over, we're going to read a few more scriptures. But notice, what's the light? The word. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Skip down to 130. Verse 130, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Notice that. What gives light? The word. What's the answer to that darkness? The word. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Hallelujah. The word is what will cut through the darkness. Hold your finger in Psalm 119. Go back over to Luke now. We'll come back to Psalm 119. Luke 11, 33. It says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it on in a secret place." This is verse 33, Luke 11, 33. "Puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, so that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light." Your eye, what you see, what you focus your attention on. It says if it is light, if you put your eyes on the right thing, what did we just read? The Word is light. How are we going to combat the darkness? Light. That's the Word of God. That's what we talked about weeks ago. It is so vitally important what you do and do not let in your eyes, through your eyes, and through your ears, and who you're around. So important. Because you start focusing on those wrong things. Now, look what he says, it brings darkness. It says, therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. When we focus on the wrong things, when we go to the wrong places, when we put ourselves around wrong influences, you have to watch triggers in your life no matter where you are. There are certain things that trigger behaviors, that trigger you to feel a certain way because it had to do with something in your past. Don't go around that. It is not a mark of valor to put yourself in that way, in fellowship with certain things, and say, I'm man enough to take it. That's foolish. If you have a problem with certain areas, no matter what it is, we could go into any area. You don't set yourself up to fall in that area. Put the Word before you. Make sure things don't come in that are going to tempt you and make you weak. That's like not waiting for somebody to come up to your house that you don't want to come to your house. It's going and seeking them out and just standing by them and wondering if you're going to have the strength to not bring them and invite them into your home. And the devil will get, you know, work on your pride and say, well, you're further than that. You can handle it. Who cares if I can handle it? I take a different way. I don't even want to see it. You know? If you had some food that you really was a bad thing, let's just say hypothetically, let's just say there was such this food that you want to stay away from at all costs. You don't go to the grocery store and go down that aisle and stand before them and say, I'm just going to see, you know, I got to get this thing that's right next to it, but I can handle it. No. The best thing would be don't even go down the aisle. And if there's only one store that carries that, go to a different store. Don't even drive past the place. I'm serious. And this is not just, I'm saying this figuratively. In any area, don't go down the street. Singles. Don't mess with certain things and put yourself in positions where you're going to be tempted. Youth, don't put yourself around it. Well, I can handle it. I'm a Christian. Don't put yourself around it. Well, I can handle it. I won't do it. Don't put yourself around it. The Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. You think you're going to bring everybody else out up, but more than likely, they're going to take you down. Don't fool yourself. The devil is sly and subtle. Well, you can handle it. Why do I want to find out? You know? Why would I want to watch certain things that are going to tempt me to do certain things that I know I don't want to go to anyway? Why don't I just not even look at that in the first place? Amen? No, we have to be very careful what comes in. And like we talked about several weeks ago, this, you start eliminating certain things that come in, and you will deal with the end problem. You will deal with certain things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oshtikite mena. Beta moko. Beta latoshtikida. Praise God. Praise God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. I'm going to say this in the best way I know how, because I understand certain company, okay? But most of you know what I'm saying, okay? There was a tie. There was a minister related this at Rhema, and he was relating it to men. But he said, there was this guy that came up to him and said, I keep having a problem in this certain area. And the guy, and it had to do with some men and women, and he told him, why don't you get rid of those certain magazines that are under your bed and quit looking at them, and you'll see the problem go away. And he said, how'd you know I was doing that? Because that's what happens. That's what happens, is that we look at certain things and we have behaviors. Don't look at the things. Don't cut that out, and you'll see things change down the line. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 34, the lamp in the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. That word darkness there, the root means to cover. The word is used literally for physical darkness and metaphorically for spiritual, moral, and intellectual darkness. The darkness arises from error, ignorance, disobedience, willful blindness, and rebellion. Darkness is an evil system absolutely opposed to the light. The word is used literally for physical darkness and metaphorically for spiritual, moral, or intellectual darkness. We talked about this some last week. The darkness arises from error, ignorance, disobedience, willful blindness, and rebellion. Darkness. We don't want to let that in. But what will dispel it? The Word of God brings light. It doesn't matter what darkness you've had in your life, regardless of the situation you grew up in, regardless of the circumstances you were around, the Word of God will cut through that, pierce the darkness, and clear it up. If we'll give ourselves to the Word of God, put that in front of our eyes and our ears. Start making that our meditation. It will pierce that darkness. It will drive out the darkness. Because God is light. God will, He's love, He's light, He will drive it out. Glory to God. Glory to you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You're holding Psalm 119. Thank God. Go to John. Hold Psalm 119 and go to John. Praise you, Lord. John 1, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. God is good and His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Jesus. Jesus. You can go down to verse 14. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus. He's the Word. And He is light. The entrance of your Word brings light. Jesus in your life. He is the Word. The Word in your life will bring light, will dispel the darkness. I don't care what the problem is. He will dispel it. The Word coming in, the entrance of the Word. We're talking about our minds. The Word comes in our minds. It enlightens our understanding. Suddenly, we start thinking differently than we did before if we'll give the Word place. You can't even think of how, you can't even imagine how you thought 10 years ago as you start moving with the Word. Your mind thinks different. You realize, I don't think the same way. I don't go the same way. I don't go down that aisle. I go over here. I don't even want to do that. That's not even anything I want to do. I go over here because this is who I am. This is where I want to go. Because His light is clearing the darkness out. Jesus. Jesus. The Word. He's all through the Holy Written Word. He is the Word. From Genesis to Revelation. It's Him. This Word is not just book. It is alive. It is our Lord. And so when you read the Word, it's quickening life. Do you notice that it said life? Notice that. Verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The light shines in darkness. Doesn't matter how much darkness there is. Your room is completely dark. The power went out. All you need to do, you could light a match, and all of a sudden, you can see. Doesn't matter if it's pitch dark to where you couldn't even see your hand. You know, if you pulled out, you had a flashlight in your pocket, you turned it on, boom. Well, the darkness is dispelled. How much more God's Word? Doesn't matter how, well, it's so dark, it's so dark. That's not the problem. The problem is the lack of light. The Word. Doesn't matter how dark it is. Well, it's been like this for so long. Doesn't matter. Shine the light of God's Word on it, and it will change. It will dispel. It will go away. It will become brighter and brighter and brighter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's flip over to 1 Peter. Don't you hold your place in Psalm. 1 Peter. Glory to God. First Peter 2. Yeah, but you don't know. It's just too dark. That's a lie. I said that's a lie. I said it's a lie. Are you saying God's Word and the Lord Jesus Himself can't overcome it? Is there any problem that you could see Him going, "Nope, I might as well go home. This is too big for me. I didn't realize it was this bad. I'm going to go sit down." Huh? No, there is none. Did Jesus ever meet a circumstance that He looked and just shook His head and said, "Guys, this is beyond me"? Ever? No. No, he always was up to the task. They tried to throw him off a cliff, he just walked right back through them. Tried to, you know, do all kinds of things. No, even when they came to pick him up, came to take him away, when he said, I am, they all fell back. No, he gave his life, they did not take it. And he is our Lord. And his Spirit dwells in us. So which problem is too big? None. Which problem is too far gone for the Word to fix? There is none. There is none. He's the Almighty. He is light. His light shines. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. Just put it off to the side. Whatever it is, put it off to the side. Say, I'm going to lay that aside. And I'm going to the Word. Notice that he's going to say, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may, what?
Grow.
How are you going to grow? How are you going to be different in 3 weeks, or 3 months, or 3 years? The Word. And being a doer of the Word. Not enough to hear it. Well, I heard that. Man, I have a closet full of CDs or tapes on that. In fact, I have some 8-tracks I've been around so long with this Word. Doesn't do any good unless you're doing it. You hear it, you do it. And how are you going to do it? By your moral muscle? No, by the Word, by the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, by the Word coming into your life, and you relying on Him. In fact, so many times we are going by feelings and we feel like, I can't take another step. I don't feel like I can do what the Word tells me to do. It's a lie. It's right then that you need to rely on God with everything you have and say, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but your Word said I could, so here I go. You ever see that movie, Facing the Giants? There is a part in that where this big guy, one of the guys on the team, is a football movie, football team. The coaches they had this thing, I can't remember what they called it, but it was this exercise. He was down on like this, and then there was another guy on his back. Smaller guy, but it's still somebody on his back. And he starts out in one end zone, and they put a blindfold on him. And he starts going. And he had only gone so far before, but he said, I don't want you to stop until you can't take another step, or, you know, he's using his hands, so, you know, move forward. And you keep going. And so he starts going, and he said, and, you know, after a while, he's saying, I can't go any further. He said, that's all you have? You can go further. You can go further. You've given me everything, and he keeps going and going, and the guy's just like, no, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. He said, but have you given me everything? And he keeps going and going. And then finally he says, I can't do it anymore, and he goes to the ground and just laying there. And the coach gets up and said, look around, look where you're at. And he was in the other end zone. And no, they had never gone that far. But he didn't think he could do that. And that's just natural. I mean, yes, it was a Christian movie, but that's just even naturally speaking. Football teams do that type of stuff, push you. We're not talking about you and yourself. I'm just going to discipline me, myself. That brings some benefit, but when you're dealing with something that you don't know how to overcome, you have to rely on His Word. You look to His Word. You look to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and you say, I rely on You. I don't feel like doing this. I don't see how, but Your Word has cut through, and I see that by Your strength I can do it, and I rely on You. And you will find that when your strength has run out, and you don't know how you can do it, He will carry you. He will bring you through. You will go through. And you'll be doing stuff you never thought you could. He is the God of increase. He will bring you up. So how are you going to grow? What did we just read? As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That you may grow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Now, go over to Psalm 119 where you have your place held there. Psalm 119:9. Psalm 119:9. Everybody there? It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. How can you cleanse your way? How can you make it clean? By the word. The word will change. If you'll act on the word, let the word bring light and act on it, it'll clean up your way. Verse 23. It says, princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. You don't know what to do? Look to the word. The word entrance of his word brings light. And pray in the Holy Spirit. That is not optional equipment for the Christian. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to speak with other tongues. When you don't know what to do and it's beyond your understanding, you can pray in other tongues. The Word, the Spirit will quicken to you back to the Word, and He'll lead you in line with the Word, even if you don't know that's in the Bible. He can say, you do this, and then you can find out a year later, oh, that was in the Word, but I didn't know that part of the Word, but the Holy Spirit still led me that way. It's still in the Word. That's why the more Word we know, the more we're going to walk in the right way as our minds are being renewed and changed according to His Word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Let's look on your sheet there near the end, Ephesians 5:8. We'll end here, I believe. Ephesians 5:8. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Let me tell you, when the enemy tries to accuse you and say, well, what about that? What about that? But you've messed up here, you messed up there. He'll try to convince you that you're the only person that has ever had that problem, and you're so messed up, and your problem is too much. You need to expose that. And just say, no, God is more than enough, and He will bring this out. He will change it. And God's Word is enough to change this. And you say, yeah, I might have done that, but I've turned away from it. I've repented. Jesus, His blood has cleansed me of all unrighteousness, and I'm going forward, and this will change too. Don't sit there and take those accusations and buy the lie that, you're right, I just messed up. Different, and I'm just so ashamed, and I'm the only person. That's a lie. That's how he picks people off. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, the darkness. Verse 13, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. God will lead you. He will expose what needs to change in your life. That's why it's vital that you continually come back to the Word. Continually come back to the Word. That's why it's vital that we get ourselves to church. That's why it's we no matter what you feel, you come back and that's the light. That's what's going to wash you. And notice, the things will be exposed in your life, made manifest by the light. As you just keep bringing that before, you'll see the next steps. You'll see what you need to do next, and you'll see what you need to do next, and you'll keep, your understanding will grow higher, and your mind will change, and the Word will keep bringing you higher and higher and higher and more light until it's just driving out all these different places, and you're walking at a higher level, but you just keep bringing the Word by. And you don't think, man, I'm walking so much higher, I don't know how much higher I could walk now. And it gets higher and higher, and you just keep changing. Why? The Word is manifest in exposing things. And God puts His finger on something and said, see, here, just make that tweak. And you do. Oh, just make that tweak, and you just go higher. Clearer. Further from that darkness. That darkness that used to cloud, that darkness that used to grope about, you look about and you say, I can see all this now, it's clear. Why? Because His Word, because the Lord Jesus, who is the Word, has made it manifest. Amen.